Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Acts, where we've been following the ministry of Paul. And today, as we look at Acts chapter 13, verse 36, our focus is on the subject of serving the Lord, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Paul is preaching in the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia. And in the course of his message, he mentions David. And he says something here about David that I think is pertinent to us as well. And so he said in verse 36, he said, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep." Each of us have been given an allotted period of time in which we'll be here on the earth. And we've been afforded the great privilege of serving the Lord while we are here. I believe it's God's will for each of us, like David, to serve our generation as well. To serve our generation in the sense of getting the gospel to them. Now, it is a hardened, cynical, self-satisfied, pleasure-seeking generation that we happen to be in the midst of. It's a generation without shame. The lives of the young people, they're just so steeped in every kind of perversion imaginable, and drunkenness and drug use, and that's just really basically what they're living for, and how they don't seem to have any shame or any, you know, nothing seems to even prick their conscience in regard to what they're doing being wrong. And as we look around us, we see that we're living in, as Paul said in his day, we're living in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. I read an article that was entitled, "The Ten Commandments Complied." And the gist of it was that the state of Alabama has complied with the federal judge's decision to remove the Ten Commandments from public view. So they've taken this stone image of the Ten Commandments, and they've moved it into a room out of public view. And now the Attorney General of the state and all, he's very happy to report to the federal judge that the state of Alabama has complied in removing the Ten Commandments. And, you know, you look at these kinds of things, and all around us we find ourselves in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. This is the generation that God has chosen that we live in. It's no accident that we're here at this time. And I do believe, as I said, that God wants us to serve this generation by getting the gospel to them, just as David served his own generation. How it is that we can really fulfill that calling to serve this generation by getting the gospel to them. And there are three things that I want to highlight. And the first is that if we're going to impact our generation, if we're going to serve them in a positive way and somehow influence them for Christ, the first thing is we have got to be living the lives ourselves. Because if we're not doing that, then there's absolutely no attraction on the part of the unbeliever to us. There's no attraction whatsoever. If our lives are no different than the lives of our neighbors who aren't believers, or the lives of our colleagues at work who aren't believers, or whoever it might be, if there's no difference in my life, then I'm not going to really have an impact on my generation. There's got to be a distinction. And I think one of the most damaging things to the testimony of the church today is the fact that a lot of Christians just aren't living like Christians. They're living like non-Christians. They're living like everybody else around them. We find this is all too common, that in the churches we find that adultery is all too common in the churches. Fornication, divorce, drug problems, drunkenness, all of these kinds of things that Jesus came to liberate us from, our churches are full of people that are still wrapped up in these things. And, you know, I'm not talking about the person who's struggling here and there with things. We all struggle to some degree with a lot of things, but I'm talking that there are people that are just blatantly living sinful lives and somehow justifying it or excusing it or thinking that, you know, it doesn't really matter. But it does matter. And it matters to God, of course. It matters to the overall witness of the church. But it really matters to the unbeliever, too, because if you're saying you're a Christian and they don't see a distinction in your life, they're just, you know, prone to dismiss the whole thing and just to count it off as nothing of any sort of legitimacy that they ought to take any time to think about. And so we have got to be living the life. And, you know, it's not that hard. I mean, you know, God has given us His Spirit. We've been born again. He empowers us. He's provided us with His Word. He's given us the great teaching we have and the fellowship and all those things. It's not really that hard to live the Christian life. I think a lot of people maybe think that it is, but it's not. The most difficult thing is getting beyond ourselves. The hard thing is denying ourselves, turning over our will. That's the thing that is really behind it for the most part. It's the tendency to do our own thing and to live for ourselves rather than to live for the Lord. And so if we're going to effectively serve our generation, we have got to start living our faith. We've got to live it at home. Our homes ought to be places where the Lord Jesus is comfortable, His Spirit is present and manifest, where our kids are growing up in an environment where they know the Lord is there. And the Lord is touching them just through their experience there at home in the family, and they're wanting to go on and walk with the Lord. You know, many kids are lost because they don't see any real valid witness in their own homes among their parents. We have a school here, many of you know that, and boy, I'll tell you, some of the kids, the horror stories we hear about what's going on at home with their parents. And yet their parents attend church and they put their kids in Christian school, but they're just not living it. We've got to begin to live it at home. We've got to live it on the job. We've got to live it among our neighbors. We've got to live it in the business world and all of these places. Being surrounded by the sin that we're surrounded by, there is a strong pull and there's temptation all of the time. But we can rise above it. Jesus came to give us the power to rise above sin, and there's no reason whatsoever why we ought to be living in sin. There's just absolutely no reason. Some people will say, well, that's awfully harsh, you know, you're not very sympathetic or understanding. Well, you know, there comes a time when we just need to grow up. We just need to realize that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed, and the night is far spent, the day is at hand, and those things that Paul told us. It's time to put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh. You know what a lot of Christian people are doing? They're making provision for the flesh. They're making excuses for the flesh. They're saying, oh, well, you know, you just don't understand, and I've got a problem, and my psychologist told me that I could probably never overcome this, and all of this kind of stuff. But it's time that we just realize that Jesus came to transform our lives. He came to set us free. When we were doing this music festival that I've shared with some of you about. And one of the particular groups that came through, you know, they were an interesting group of guys. They were foul-mouthed and wondering where the beer was and all of this kind of stuff, you know. And we're just looking at them thinking, you know, what are you thinking? You're ministers of the gospel? And one of them excused it by saying, oh, well, you know, we're British. No, that's not the problem. The problem is you're carnal. That's the reality. British, American, you know, Chinese, who cares? That's the issue is that God has given us a new life. And we need to be living that new life. But a lot of times people are making excuses. And we see it all the time. So if we're going to serve our generation effectively, we've got to begin by living the life ourselves. Remember, Jesus came into the world to liberate us from sin, to set us free from sin, to give us the power to rise above it and to live a life that's pleasing to Him and attractive to other people. And as I've already said, that's one of the main reasons why people are not impressed with the church. It's because of the hypocrisy. I met a person in England a few months back, and he was telling me that he actually was living a homosexual lifestyle. And when he saw this attempted ordination of a man to the position of bishop who was also involved in a homosexual lifestyle, it did something to him. It shocked him. And he just thought, that is wrong. You know, funny response from a person who's living that lifestyle. You would have thought that, you know, as so many people do think, oh, that's great. But this guy thought, no, that's wrong. A Christian should not be doing that. And it caused him to repent of his sin and to turn to the Lord. It's just because the Christians are doing it all wrong. And he had enough sense to know that, wait, something's not right with this. But, of course, that's not the kind of evangelism that we should be promoting, is it? Just living in all kinds of sin so people can look at us and say, well, those Christians are wrong, but I'm going to still follow God. That's the exception to the rule. Most of them look on and say, well, you know, if that's what Christianity has to offer, then I don't want anything to do with it. You know, one of the main things that the fundamentalist Muslims have against the Christians, and, you know, one of the ways they justify their attitudes and so forth, is because they talk about the loose moral standard among the Christians. Now, they do have a problem in distinguishing between, you know, who are really Christians. They kind of look at any Western nation as a Christian nation. But yet, I think sometimes, you know, we have given them a bit of ammunition because we're not careful to live godly life. So if we're going to serve the Lord in this generation, if we're going to impact our generation, we've got to live the life. Secondly, we need to pray. We need to pray hard. We need to cry out to God. You know, things are just going from bad to worse, it seems. I talked to my dad on the phone today, and the first thing he said to me, he goes, can you believe what's going on in the world? It just seems like every day some major thing happens again. And it does seem that way, doesn't it? Nothing is really slowing down and sort of settling and getting back to normal. It just seems to be escalating all over the planet. And we look around, and even sometimes as Christians, we start to revert to the wrong things, and we think that there's hope in the political system, perhaps, you know? And you just think, it seems to be coming to where Jesus said that the nations would be in perplexity with no way out. The problems, whether they be problems in our own country or problems, you know, in an international level, really they're spiritual problems at the root. And so how do we deal with that? How do we address that? What can we do about that? Well, we of all people can do something that nobody else can do. We can pray. You see, we can pray, and God has promised that He listens to us. That is one of the prerogatives of being a child of God. I have the Lord's ear. I can go right to Him and I can say, Lord, you have got to do something about this. God, we call upon you. But I wonder how often we neglect that great and awesome privilege and just spend our times fretting or spend our time, you know, pursuing other avenues that aren't really going to solve the problem. We need to pray for this generation. We need to pray that God would open people's hearts. You know, again, I was reading one of these articles just about the state of the youth. And it's not just in Europe. It's all over our own country as well. And, you know, as I read that, I thought, you know, humanly speaking, there absolutely is no solution. The only thing that can help these kids is the power of God, salvation, Jesus coming into their lives. And we're at that kind of a place again where we need to see God pour out his Spirit. And we are the ones that can ask him to do it, and nobody else can ask him. Only Christians can ask him. Because, of course, nobody else would think to ask him. And beside that, we know that his ear is open to the righteous, those who have been justified by faith in Jesus. We are the ones that can pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Nobody else can pray that prayer. So we have got to pray. We have got to pray hard. We've got to pray faithfully, diligently. And so those two things, if we're going to serve our generation, we've got to live the life, we've got to pray, and then thirdly, we need to take steps of faith. Do you realize that God has called you to serve your generation by getting the gospel to them or having some part in that happening? Do you realize that? You see, if we don't realize that in the first place, then we're stuck. We've got to get a vision for life, in a sense. We've got to come to the realization that, you know, my life is meaningful. There's a purpose. God put me here for a reason. I'm living on this planet because God ordained that I be here. He knew the circumstances that I would be living under. He knew the condition of the world at the time, and he put us here. He saved us. He's left us here. Why? Because he has something for us to do. But you see, if we're all consumed with the life of the flesh and living for the world and doing what everybody else is doing and trying to, you know, get one up on our neighbor and bigger house and faster cars and more money in the bank and more vacation time, all of that kind of stuff that everybody else is doing, we're completely missing the boat. Because that's not what we're here for. David, he served his generation by the will of God. David was here to do something for God. You're here to do something for God. I'm here to do something for God. That's why we're here. That's why God has left us here. Have you ever wondered why the rapture hasn't happened yet? I mean, it seems like it could have happened a long time ago. But evidently, God still has something that he wants to accomplish, and the church is his instrument through which he accomplishes things. And so we have to get a vision for that, and then we've got to take steps of faith. We've got to just begin to step out and just ponder where we're at in life, what we're doing, and just to even ask the Lord, "God, is there something you want to change in my life? Lord, have I become complacent? Am I too comfortable?" Those are things that I think we really need to consider. As the church of Jesus Christ, we have to always be on our guard because there's always the temptation to just settle down into the world. And so we need to be on our guard and we need to be taking steps of faith. We need to put ourselves in a place where we can say, "God, here I am. Use me. Use me in this generation. Use me with my family. Use me with my neighbors. Use me on my job. Use me out in my leisure time, whatever I'm doing, you know, use me, Lord, send me somewhere else if you want to." Are we open to that sort of thing? Are we thinking in those terms? We need to be, because that's what God wants. He wants us to be a people who are available to him, who are simply saying, "Lord, here I am, whatever you have, I want to do it. If it's stay right here and keep doing what I'm doing, but have a different emphasis maybe that I haven't seen before, that's great. If it's pack my bags and head to the other side of the planet, Lord, I want to do that too." You know, the one thing that happens to me every time I go on these trips back over to Europe, and Europe is just the place God's kind of sent me, but it's all over the world. The one thing that always happens to me is I get this deep burden and, to some extent, a great frustration over the fact that there's so much work to be done and so few people doing it. But I remember Jesus said that we're to pray the Lord of the harvest, and that's what I'm doing. But I know right now, personally, myself, of 5 different opportunities in key cities in Europe to plant churches, but I don't know of anybody who's interested in going. And I just think, "Lord, you got to do something. You got to get people off their seats and get them out there in the battle. Time is running out. And so we need to take steps of faith. And let me give you a few practical examples of where to start with that. Take a step of faith as an adult. Take a step of faith. Start teaching Sunday school, perhaps. You know, we think about the possibility of future generations and all of that. And what's the future? The future is children. I think of how much the devil and his world system has invested in children. Boy, they've aimed all their guns at the kids, haven't they? Through the educational system, through the media, everything's pointing at the kids and trying to seduce them and lead them astray. It's just amazing. And yet, sometimes we don't have enough vision ourselves to think about the kids and educating them and training them up in the ways of the Lord. But these kids, these hundreds of kids right here at our Sunday school every Sunday morning or Saturday night or Sunday or whatever, whenever we're gathered here, these kids are all potential servants of God. But we've got to make an investment in their lives. We got to point it out. Some people, you know, look at children's ministry as sort of, second class service. That's what you do if you can't get to the big people and, you know, get a platform there. Not so. That is a great ministry. It's a glorious ministry. One of the great evangelists of the past century, D.L. Moody, he was initially a minister to children. He had a church of some 700 kids. There were no adults that went. It was all children. And he faithfully taught them and ministered to them. And as his ministry expanded and grew, and as God sent him to minister, you know, on an international scale, some of those children that grew up in his church, they became his workers and his closest associates and friends who labored alongside of him. And so take a step. Maybe God's been speaking to you about stepping out. Music is such a powerful medium, isn't it? I mean, it really is the universal language. Everywhere you go, music connects with people. And I think of the power of music and the way that it can impact people. And I think of the gifts and the talents that God has given to people within the body of Christ. But we need to step out in faith. We need to take those gifts and cultivate them and use them and put them on the altar and say, God, what do you want to do with this? In this festival that we did in the UK, the music was just such a powerful medium to connect with the people. And then my son Charlo and the guys in the band with him, they went and they were touring all over into Wales and back into London, and they were doing outreach, and just the music itself was such a powerful tool to connect with the young people and to bring them in. And so we take a step and utilize those gifts that God has given us. Maybe it's not music. Maybe it's drama of some sort or some other artistic ability. All of those things. Do we think in terms of using those things to the glory of God? That's the question that I'm asking. Are you thinking in those terms? God's given you a gift. Are you looking for an opportunity to use that gift for Him? And then, of course, there's just plain old rubber meets the road evangelism. Just getting out and sharing the gospel with people. Talking to people about the Lord, telling them about what Christ has done in your life. You know, sometimes I think as Christians, we're sitting around just waiting for the unbelievers to show up at church. But think about yourself before you were a Christian. How likely was it that you were just going to stumble into church one day? It wasn't all that likely. I mean, it was a possibility, but yet it probably wasn't all that likely. You see, Jesus, He told us to go, to get out. To go make contact with people, not to simply sit and wait for them to come. I mean, thank God people do come. Thank God for radio and thank God for people who invite their neighbors and friends. That's all wonderful stuff. We should be doing that. But we've also got to get out there. And you know, it's interesting. When you get out there, you find that although you could easily get the idea that nobody's interested in this, what you actually find is that people are a lot more interested than you might realize. And a lot of people have really never heard the gospel at all. I was down at Huntington Pier a few weeks back, and it was right before the Harvest Crusade, and there was a team down there on the pier evangelizing. And I just stood there, and I watched this young guy talk to two young guys that were just passing by. And I was intrigued as I watched at the interest that these two guys had. They didn't just simply blow this guy off and tell him to shut up and don't talk to me and, you know, get out of here. They sat and they listened, and they were asking questions. And I thought, you know, I think there are many people out there. You see, the more things go south, the more things become disoriented and confusing and difficult for people, the more people start to think, you know, what is going on? They're looking for answers.
We'll return with more of our study through the Acts of the Apostles in our next lesson as we continue to focus on the subject of serving the Lord. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Serving the Lord. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT-3139. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.